And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And music's done. Frank's not there. He's probably in line voting. No, I think he already voted. He did. Anyway, did he text you or anything? Yeah, slacktivist. It's up, man. It's like freaking clockwork. All right. Well, then I get to start talking about something else. Then he'll come in and want me to just stop right in the middle of whatever, and you have to wait. That is the way it is. The article. I wanted to do something before the election, and I thought about it a long time, and I'm dead, and I could, when I really do an article and I got time and I set aside, it'll be one of those percolate for a day or two, and then you spend a day or two getting the research done for it, and then a day or two writing it and link. I mean, it takes me like a week, or sometimes I'll go in room on a weekend. Everybody leave me alone. I got the day off. I'm going to, write. So I don't write often. But, and this one I didn't really put, a lot into it other than I wanted to make a point. And the point that I want, and it's, getting a lot of traffic, but, it's nothing new to you guys. I mean, if you're listening to the show, it's, a bunch of Ernie-isms. Anybody that's writing, that's Ernie, I'm just being Ernie. But in what way? Saying what? About what? What? Well, my main thing is that there's an after this election. There's an after. There's definitely an after. But, the beginning is starting. The end is nigh. The end is no, the beginning is nigh. What does a 2020 election mean? What is this about? We've been doing this a long time. And I know that I've been talking to a lot of guys here of late, and we have conversations. There's some things wicked this way comes. I mean, damn, it is. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't like dwelling on it. I don't, but I know how it manifests itself. It manifests itself, and you're not free to resist. You're not free to avoid, and you got to fund it. You got to be part of it. They're going to, live off of you. And there are so many people that, they benefit from the evil. Evil. Man, that's going to become a popular word here. I remember when they made, evil, what's that? They really poo-poo anytime you ever use the word evil. Well, it's getting to where I'm freaking, man, I'm going to be slinging that around and pointing. Say like that. I mean, like that. So, they see that they profit from it. They benefit. Crime doesn't pay. I remember Butler Schaefer, he goes, the hell it doesn't. Just ask all these politicians. It pays like crazy. They're doing fine, So crime doesn't pay. Yes, it does. Until it doesn't. And what stops it? County level? it's just individuals. So I want to make sure, look, I get it. I know, and no matter... And that's one thing that happens on social media. No matter how conspiratorial, crazy, your stuff is, there's always somebody else with something worse. Oh, yeah? Well, this and this and this and this. They embellish and add on to the point it becomes, untrue. When all you got to do is just, you do some research and the true evil, damn, there's plenty of that to go around. Then it's a psyop, and they distract, and they got the trolls, and they, you know, plant fake stories and false information that on something true, there'll be some fake stuff that discredits what's really going on. I've seen this. This is like techniques. So you just need to really, you know, and don't be so. This one thing that they did, I watched a documentary, Social Dilemma. The Social Dilemma. It's on Netflix, and I saw an interview with one of the guys that was, you know, big woohoo at Google and then Facebook, and then but guys from Pinterest and Facebook and Twitter and all these different platforms participated in this documentary going, yeah, we don't let our kids do social media. We know how we're screwing with their brain. We're the ones doing it. And our kids don't get to have social media. That is the way it is, you know. I'll tell you something right there. And so they know how much they're jacking with your head. They know what they're doing. They know how. They know how they're gaming you. They know how they get you. And what they do is what we've been saying. They take the extreme here, you know, and put the extreme over here, the counter thing. They get you to engage and argue and click and forward and all that. You know, even if you don't comment, the fact that you even read it or that you forwarded it, or they're just wanting engagement. How many seconds can they keep you on the app? It's, you know, we made, you know, 2 cents on that guy, right? Or, oh, there's a nickel, there's, you know, you do that by a gazillion and all of a sudden you got something. And it is by keeping you engaged. You know, you're getting blisters on your thumb. It's like old days, like you're playing I remember a Nintendo commercial or a PlayStation commercial, and they had these kids in the stands and they had these big, giant, swollen thumbs, you know? Yeah. Well, that's what's going on now with a smartphone. I mean, at least video games, you're interactive and you're doing something, whatever brainwashing they were doing there. And they just we need to get them off the games and on the social media. And it was the same, you know, chemical drips from your brain, dopamine, serotonin, whatever. They go in and they go, you know, beep, beep, beep. We can do that with, we can gamify social media. So that's what they're doing. And how do you, and then they're going, all these QAnon guys, they're sick, are they? You know, which ones? How do you determine which one needs to be banned? You know, and who bans them? And what, how about I get to do it? You know, we're gonna evolve out of this. We're to become self-aware. We're human beings. We'll figure. We get the facts. We know what's up. We'll take care of business. We'll raise our kids differently. We'll something. We'll figure it out. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? I don't need the government doing it. But I need options. What's the government doing? They're preventing competition. They don't want you to be able to do the stuff there. That's one thing we were talking about last night on the Zoom with all the guys is I go, yeah, these back. We need to wear, you know, and Kingsley Edwards was up there, you know, Pimp and Float, of course. And you know, I'm a fan, but I go, look, what we need is a protocol, an interface. We save our own stuff. We do the IPFS on the hard drive or whatever, and then it feeds from that in everything. Because they go, oh, we set it up to where, yes, you can bring over your YouTubes. Yes, you can, you know, bring your profile over from Facebook. Yes, you can get your posts from there. Yes, you can pull all this coding. I go, yeah? Well, you know, over a year ago, we saved all you guys. You're welcome, okay? And we put it on IPFS, make an interface with that. Well, that's one thing that Derek's working on now with the guys is we come up with a format. Well, he's talking about, you know, all the coding and everything, and I'm GUI, you know, graphic user interface. I go, look, when I'm doing it, there's a field that I'm going to fill out, and then they're going to do this field, and it's going, yeah, but then you take that, and you go, yeah, until you have the formatting, the field of how it's interfaced with somebody doing it, what's done behind the scenes, and how that's coded, you know, it has to follow something. You have to reverse engineer. You have to have what you want at the end, and then you build to that. Well, coders and everything, they just want to build. They go, we can build, it can do this, it can do that. I go, yeah, well, how does it look? What's the form I fill out? Nah, we don't care about that part. We're going to do this part. So I'm the graphic user interface guy. I want to see, you know, how is it going to appear to me and readers? How's it going to be used? Then you can make it go whiz, bang, whir in the background. But I need that. Well, that's coming. Internet 3-point kiss my ass! That's what's coming. Yep, 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 yep. We'll be right back.
from the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the Crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs. As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all.
All right, you there?
I'm here.
And your doctor excuse today is?
It does, you know, you're not going to believe it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Whether I believe it or not, I don't care. Is there bones or blood protruding the skin?
It feels like blood in both, but no. Yeah. Everything's okay, but I'm sure there's a few things to talk about. I tell you what, my cell phone blew up this morning, which I didn't even realize, but everyone has been calling me, texting. I'm getting, it's like some kind of crazy reunion. People I haven't talked to in 3 years, 4 years, texting and calling. I mean, it's this is a day I've never seen this in any other election day, and it's already happening.
Greenspan texted that he got at the polls at 5:45. And there's only like 60 people there. By 6 o'clock, I guess, is when it opened. And there's 200. One of the guys in line was chatting him up, and he's a Freedom's Phoenix reader. And talking to him about the Fed and everything. And he goes, yeah, I know Ernie. And I go, did you immediately ask him, what the fuck is he doing voting? If he's here listening to Freedom's Phoenix and everything, and he's there voting? Communist? You know? Let me check. He might be texting.
A Freedom's Phoenix slacker. He didn't get the message. Still voting.
Yeah, he posted in the Telegram, the guy. You know, so I guess he's whatever. Just happens to know, you know, be in line with, you know, John. I mean, God, what is his name? Greenspan John. Jack, John. What's Greenspan's first name?
Jeff.
What? Jeff. Yeah. Yeah, Jeff. Jeff. He keeps going by the, I can't even remember anymore what his real freaking name is. And I'm going, God, what is his name? What the hell? Gotta be all secret stuff. All right, here we're coming back.
That's ShireSociety.com.
Can you hear the network?
What's up next?
Yeah.
Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank! He ran out of gas. He had a flat tire. It wasn't his fault. Whatever. Did you go vote or you already voted?
Oh, no. I'm doing it today. Our daughter has a nice red, white, and blue American unicorn little dress. I'll see whether or not she's allowed to wear that, because that might be it might be voter intimidation to some liberals out there. You know, it's too patriotic. I feel intimidated. Get that little girl.
You know,
away
I
from
saw
me.
A piece on, I don't know, some news Peter, they were saying why the American flag is intimidating or a trigger for the left. And I didn't even read why. I mean, I don't care, you know. But that the fact that that even is an article, that's just, you know, what?
Yeah.
So, whatever. I saw another meme.
No, I'm serious. I mean, it's almost like you're listening to The Onion. I mean, that's to the level of how much off the rails this country's gone, where the American flag, red, white, and blue, is considered, you know, stressful and intimidation. I mean, that just explains why we need to be voting. This is a cultural, I know, Ernie. I'm just saying, this is a cultural revolution that's about to take over what America was or is. And that is what we're seeing. That is what the Trump rally and the Trump, there's a lot of things that, to talk about this next, what's left of the hour here. But as far as the Trump rally and the car parades going around the country, I mean, this is incredible. Absolutely incredible. So this is the American culture that you always say, what culture? What? I don't get it. Well, you're effing seeing it right now. That's what it is.
All right. It's a culture of I'm voting. Or is it like a culture, I got American flag, I'm voting for Trump. You know, see, it's like you put an American flag out, that means you're a Trump supporter? Is that what that's come to mean
you know,
now?
It's turning into that. That's the point.
That's amazing.
How is it? It's turned into that.
When your campaign flag is an American flag, you know, and the other guy, you know, stipulates it and says, well, yeah, okay, yeah, you're American flag, you're a Trump guy. I'm going, wow, is a worm turned there. I'm going, okay, this is interesting. I am, you know, I can't get invested in it, though. I wrote an article yesterday, or was it yesterday or day before, whatever, I wrote an article. And it was, the beginning is nigh. And the point that I'm making in the whole thing is that we're going to, you know, you go through the whole thing. It's like, you know, a bunch of Ernie-isms. But it comes down to the last paragraph is that, in the end, freedom always wins. You know, the people, they just, you know, eventually, out of self-preservation, or we'd be extinct by now, we come up and we go, you're going to make me kill that freaking fly. That government fly, you're bugging the crap out of me. I'm not sitting down till that fly is not bugging me anymore. Give me my bug assault, man. We will get some. Well, you know, then what? And I don't think that those understand, you know, how determined the American people will be. But if they do, what's next? They have to change us physically, mentally, either through psyop, con, fear, genetics, food, water, chemical, DNA, with RNA vaccines. What if they have to? Oh, they'd have to. They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. I'm telling you, this is the battle for our humanity. I mean, literally. You know, when they say it's for humanity, I'm not even sure what they meant by that, but I know what they mean now. This is a battle for our humanity. And I'm wondering if Trump, you know, it's kind of tapped into that. And it's not so much that it's support of him in opposition to that. It's that everybody, a vote for Trump is a vote against them. And they don't see that. They can't make Trump worse than them. They can't. I don't give a crap whatever the stupid crap he does or says or whatever. They can't make him worse than them. That is where we're at.
You know what? That's a very good point. And you know, as I was just listening to you, you know, I've been kind of like my ritual has been getting coffee and this and that and checking the betting site, and it just came up. It just crashed a little earlier ago. So of course, some of you know, I actually bet more than $1 on this election just because I didn't promote it much because I'm not trying to promote gambling on Freedom's Phoenix, but. It's been interesting, not just a little bit fun, but also as a metric to watch what's happening.
Well, at the inauguration, when you hold up, you know, that dollar when he was getting inaugurated, you won. You should take all your dollars and fan them out and then take that picture that you won.
I think I'll do it. Well, it turns out on the news, I just saw this thing. This one dude, as they're talking about on YouTube, he bet $5 million on Trump. So this guy could
But what's the win?
To win, yeah, to win.
I know, but
win.
What is the odds, because when you purchase it, you don't get the odds at the time that you purchased it. You get the odds at the end of the thing, right?
Yeah. But somehow he put $5 million. I don't know exactly what it was at the time, but I'll research it later. But the reason, real quick, guys, we'll be talking more about the betting stuff after the election. There's a lot of things I want to unpack that I learned that I just didn't want to get into, again, talk about gambling. However, the site that I used, which I guess doesn't matter now because they shut off gambling. I think it's all shut off now because of the election, I think. But anyway, it turns out gambling on elections in politics in America is illegal. Okay, you're not supposed to be able to do it. However, there is a site that is completely legal, and you can do it. And what it is, I'll tell you what it is. It's called predictit.org. So predictit.org. I'm not promoting anyone who got their gamble. But the thing is, this site is legal, and it's unique. It actually was started through a college grant or something over some Ivy League overseas. It was in England or somewhere, some like Yale University overseas in Europe. Anyway, trust me, I'll get back to Trump. The point is that by doing this, they had a question they always thought of, which was, and we've all asked, which is, can the free market, can Las Vegas outperform the polls of basically media polls? You know, can the free market know what's going on more than, you know, a bunch of academics? And so that was the question posed. But they, in order to do it, they realized they had to harness the internet and the power and the technology of these sports betting sites to try to pull it off. So they created this site. Washington knows all about it. America knows about it. As a matter of fact, the headquarters in America is on Pennsylvania Avenue. So they already know all about it. It's been around for a number of years. As a matter of fact, they were around in the 2016 election. But so anyway, that's the background about what it is. They also cap it. So you can't bet $5 million on something. The maximum you can do per contract is $850. But they have multiple. They have tons of things you can bet on. But the thing is you get an idea of, you know, for their point of view, to see how do people vote. So I've been watching this, and the entire time, Donald Trump has had a 37 to 40% chance of winning. Biden's always been the opposite of that, 63-70% the entire time. And I knew it was going to do an inflection. In 2016, 2 days before the election, bizarrely, all of a sudden, everything twisted. It just went. In other words, just like 2 days before the election.
Yeah, because they wanted the profit, you know, from the bet. They do it all in the beginning. You know, they know he's going to win. But, you know, they don't make any money.
Exactly. Well, anyway, what I'm saying is it just did it last night. It waited until like 4 hours before midnight, and the inversion began. It was amazing. He's watching it. So Trump's in the lead.
Okay, by what? What's the numbers?
I throw 50% now, depends on the contract, but it just twists the whole thing. I'll give you the
details. Yeah, it's all freaking con, you know.
LRN.FM's free-to-air satellite feeds blanket most of two.
Okay, this is what happened. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Last night they have something Tim Pachot does. It's a Zoom of the band or, you know, whatever the hell it is. It's a bunch of the, you know, influencers get on and why did they ban us, you know, that kind of whining thing. And so it's a lot of the, you know, big YouTube guys in the freedom movement, everybody that's got banned and going to be banned and all that. And they had G. Edward Griffin on there. And so he was kind of, you know, center of attention. And it was all of the videos that he did on how they do these kind of color revolutions. And, you know, what Soros is doing, and, you know, that's a Soviet style of Marxist, whatever the hell, that's going on here in America. And the only difference is that we can see it and how they're doing it, and it's a county level. It's the district attorneys. It's the county attorneys. It's the, you know, who gets prosecuted and who doesn't and how they're. And then you have all these guys putting up their boards and for their businesses, and, of course, they write on it, you know, we support Black Lives Matter. Please don't kick in our store. You know, which is, don't mean shit. You know, they just do whatever. And, you know, the guy's getting looted all the time. They're not putting up the boards because they, you know, think Trump's going to lose. So, there are so many signs that, you know, this is a overwhelming Trump thing. And Trump did not disappoint. Last time I remember in the 16 election cycle, he, in the last week or two, he did like 50 gazillion rallies a day. Well, he's doing it again, but this time he's got Air Force One, okay? So who the hell did he even run against last time? Oh, yeah, Hillary. You know, yeah, you know that. Yeah, don't even remember her.
So quickly we forget.
Okay, so we'll come back in a little bit. What do you want to make sure we get in today?
Well, let's see. Well, there was the did your kids go to the Trump rally, the car parade again on Sunday?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, I don't know how many times they got to go. Did you go?
Yeah, we wound up going. That was okay, you know, it was with Joseph. It was pretty amazing to see that much support. And the thing is, it was done nationwide. Every city in the country did it on the same day. And it was interesting, is, you know, of course, Donald Trump wasn't even here. His kids weren't here. There was nobody. It was just to see, like you talked about, activism. It was really a Trump version of activism. You know, there was nothing to it. There's no incentive outside of purpose. And yet Joe Biden had 20 people in his car parking lot, you know, in Pennsylvania somewhere. And yet here you have, you know, it was like, I don't know, 30 miles of cars in just Phoenix alone times 50 states.
Yeah, you know what? The meme I saw in reference to it, they had a split screen and it had, you know, the Toyota pickup trucks with the black flags and the 50 calibers in the back. What was it, ISIL or Islamic State, ISIS or something, and them going, and then they showed the Trump thing. They go, "You see any difference? Me neither." You know? Yeah, man. They're really reaching, you know? So, all right. 10 seconds. Hold on.
Just kidding. For more tips, hit survivalspeech.com. I'm Holland Cook.
Live video of our key New Hampshire based shows is streamed on DLive. Please follow and share at DLive.LRN.FM. That's DLive.LRN.FM.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Frank Tamburi. He made it. Last few weeks, there's been all these Trump truck flag waving, whatever the hell, and all over the country. And in Phoenix, they had like a week and before, it was like 95 miles long of this just around the loop. And it's just, you know, like a donut that goes around Phoenix, the 101, and it's just, you know, filled with trucks just going around, and I guess they had cars and SUVs and vans and stuff too, but it's usually pickup trucks. Anybody got a pickup truck, they pile in a bunch of people in the back. Isn't it riding in the back of a pickup truck? I thought it was supposed to be illegal now.
Yeah, it actually became, because a bunch of Californians moved here back in the 90s, and they saw it on television, and they said, "Oh, this is barbaric. How can we have this?" And then that's a whole other topic for another day, but the Californication of Arizona. You know, everyone leaves California to get away from their bad ideas, and they bring them with them, and they come here, you know, and then they, "Oh, my God, someone's wearing a gun. Guns are scary."
You know, there was a big pushback on that, because on the Native American reservations, that's like a Mormon SUV, man. That's how they, you know, move their families around. Everybody gets in the back of a pickup truck. And they're going, "Oh, hell no. It ain't happening to us." And then it got some kind of an age thing or whatever. I don't remember. They keep making up all kinds of crap, you know. But it didn't stop these guys. There were people in the back of the pickup truck with Trump signs, you know. So they went at it. So you finally made one this last weekend. Tell me everything.
Well, not a lot to talk of. You know, we actually had some car issues, too, but that's a whole other story. But we wound up, it was started all the way out on Ellsworth area. Look, the thing is, for most of you guys to understand, if you're not in Arizona is, and correct me if I'm wrong here on this, Ernie, but we're the third, I think now, largest city in the country. I remember 10, 15 years ago when we became, I think, the fourth or fifth.
So anyway, I think maybe it's a media market. I remember, you know, the Valley, you know, it's like, you know, how many people does the radio station cover kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the media market, the Valley is probably, yeah. Because I remember we were, you know, 13th or something when I was doing radio. So it's it got bigger.
Yeah, it's something pretty big. I mean, I come from Philadelphia, so I always think of Philly and New York and all these big cities. I think New York is still probably number one. But, you know, coming from cities like that, when I heard that Phoenix Metro is like third or fourth largest in the country, I was pretty shocked. I had no idea. We have to also have to keep in mind, guys, that coming from the big cities back east, is the Phoenix Metro is really like four cities all crammed together. They're all kind of spread out, because here all we have is desert, and you just knock down some cactus and you just keep building the city out. So you have the ultimate city sprawl, very coordinated and grid-like, but it goes out forever. Anyway, I don't get too hung up on this. It's just that this city is huge. So when I say that there's cars that were wrapped around the entire highway, around a donut, around the city, you can't think of whatever city you're coming from. This city is, I mean, it's like L.A. and the whole, you know, it's like wrap around all of L.A., for instance, but even bigger. So anyway, it just, the point is, it was that many cars all. And matter of fact, I even took a picture, I'll have to show it to you, which is on MapQuest. You pull MapQuest and you can see where the traffic jams are. You can see the yellow sluggish traffic going around a loop, going around the city. I've never seen anything like it, you know, on a Sunday. And you can see, you can just see the Trump train literally on the MapQuest during that time. So
wait. What do you mean the MapQuest?
Well, I own MapQuest. I use the Apple.
It showed what it had, little Trump signs going around the.
No. You know, I don't know if you know this already, but like if you put in directions to go somewhere, you put in directions, you want to, you know, whatever. It'll show you the you know how much time it takes to get there, and it maps it. Well, if there's a lot of traffic in live time, it'll put like green means good traffic flow, yellow is like sluggish, and red means like there's traffic jams. You know, if it's congested during rush hour, so you can actually see. So the point is, this is a Sunday, and you can see a yellow line looped around the entire city on the 202 and all the other.
Oh, that's awesome! That's a screenshot.
And it was all
right
yellow.
There.
I was shocked that the actual satellite, or however they calculate this, you could see the Trump train live on the MapQuest during driving. It was fascinating to see. And that, of course, it was either a Trump train or the Biden train. I'm not sure which one it was, but
right.
I'm assuming it was the Trump train. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, so this is the most. This is what I said a couple weeks ago, Ernie. And again, we'll argue about this later. Right now, we'll just get prepare for tomorrow and today. Is about, you know, does the election system still hold up? And really, I'm not trying to have that debate right now. It's just that this is such a wonderful experiment to see, because people can't even argue. Well, it was Hillary and Trump. Even that race, you know, there were so many unknowns. This election is the most profoundly, I guess, the disparate that I've ever seen. Everything between the popularity with one candidate and lack of for the other. I mean, you could just go down the list of the extremes, and it's like you're creating a laboratory experiment. And if, like I said, Trump has to win. Like, this it's impossible for Biden to win.
Okay, I tell you what,
single metric. And if he does, then I'll be giving you more than a dollar and a foot massage and everything else, Ernie. I'll even say that you're right for once. So right. That's what's coming. So there's a lot on the line here.
I am of the opinion that every institution, all the mechanisms for them building up to whatever the hell it is they, them, those wanted, certainly the media, is in for a big, giant change. It's going to, the media as it is structured. I mean, what are we going to do? Get another 4 years of MSNBC and CNN, you know, going on about how terrible and done and Trump is of whatever? You know, do you think there's going to be any replacement of the talking heads that jump? You know, you got Cuomo's, you know, brother up there doing his stupid. I mean, has he got a future? Do these guys?
It's funny you say that. Last week or a couple weeks ago, I was getting all animated about a point, and I said, I called it the time of death. Myself being a doctor, I guess I'm allowed to do it. The time of death of the media, of mainstream media that started since 1920 or with ABC and NBC radio all the way up till today. I said the time of death will be this election, which is today or maybe by tomorrow. Now, the media is not all going to be banned or anything, but they are going to become irrelevant and absolutely implode like a historical footnote based off of this election. I made a big deal about it a couple of weeks ago, trying to show the profundity of what's about to happen, in my opinion. And it's interesting because Tim Pool, I think, must listen to Freedom's Phoenix and the Trump Report, because just last week he started coming to the same conclusion. He started saying the same thing. Like, this, there is something bigger. The media is going to essentially die. There'll be nothing left of them, and they will implode when what I think is going to happen happens, when Trump wins overwhelmingly, like Brexit style, in a mandate which flies in the face of every one of their polls. And I know, you know, people can get polls wrong, but you can't get them wrong this long, including the midterms and 2016, just bashing this president, saying the things they've done.
The future
nonstop
is credibility. See, that's one thing I'm saying. You know, the everything that we do is to enhance or not damage credibility. The future is going to be credibility. It's going to be these influencers that they're trying to ban and, you know, deplatform and everything everywhere, but they have credibility. That's why they ban them. You know, this is because they're out competing. You know, skateboarding bulldogs are getting more views than CNN, and that video's been up for freaking ever. I mean, you know, so this is the one thing that how I described elections. I put in this article, I go, election cycles are milestones, markers in time, but compared to natural and many man-made disasters, they are historical markers on the side of a small state highway, making an event of regional significance to those responsible for supporting the monument's erection. The point that I'm making is that whenever you're traveling in the back roads, you'll see the historical marker. And if you, sometimes I'll stop and go, especially when I don't have the bus, but you know, I'll stop and, okay, what was the big deal here? Yeah, so-and-so did such and such about something. And I'm going, okay, who's that important to? You know, the people that live in that valley, or they want to, they're proud of something, or the person that paid to have the marker or monument put up. Well, most of the people don't care. Might be interesting, but it doesn't affect them. That's what elections are. It doesn't affect me. It's something, just a little blip in the on the side of the road.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration.
It doesn't affect me. I don't care. I mean, it's kind of interesting and cool and tells you, you know, add a data point to a bunch of other stuff, but it's not really significant. You know, market an event of regional significance to those responsible for supporting the monument's erection. Who's that? How many people do that? You know, what? Who cares? You know, and that's what election cycles are to me. They're just mile markers. To think that they're really, you know, manifestations of we get to, you know, control our government, I'm not feeling that. But, you know, it's the signs. It's the people on the streets. It's the people doing stuff. That's the impact. You know, and that's why when we had Roger Stone on and we were going on about, you know, I'm like, no, I want to see the red shirts. Where are the red shirts? Show me red shirts. I don't see red shirts. It didn't happen. You know? So that's what we're seeing is the red shirts. That's what's going on.
Yeah, in all different ways. I mean, whether the Trump signs, I mean, it's just, it's a lot more. But it's also showing, it's, you know, it shows the fear. I mean, why is it the only time you see this much Trump swag is when people are bundled together, safety in numbers. And that's how people feel. People, that to me is symbolic of this whole thing. That, you know, I don't see one Trump sign in my entire street. I see not one. I see two people in this neighborhood with Biden signs, and a few courageous people who I'm sure are Trump supporters have David Schweikert signs, who's our main representative in this area, the House rep for Arizona.
Get out of the city and you'll see him. I'll freaking tell you that.
So you got a couple people with Republican representative signs. You also notice this time around that every, I don't know about you, but every single political sign I've seen for whatever candidate, doll catcher, whatever the hell, I don't care, they never now put down Democrat, Republican. You can't tell who's who on the signs. It's interesting. They always say Republican for Congress or whatever. Now everything, and they don't even make it red or blue. They're making like white signs, and you sit back and you'll scratch your head. You can't tell, which, you know, I mean, you have to ask the question, why is that? You know, why they won't even declare it as politicians. And of course, no one has a Trump sign around here, just a few Biden signs that are around the street in this area, and it's a Republican area. So therefore, why is it that when all of a sudden safety in numbers, there's more Trump swag, Trump underwear, I got Trump socks I'm wearing today, you got Trump flags, you got Trump everything. And, you know, it's like everyone just does not want to be hassled. They don't want their house bombed. They're seeing what happened to those guys, you know, that couple where they came in and they had to pull their guns out. This is what people who are, you know, supporting the president believe this country's turned into. And so the fact that you have to sit there and show up on a parade and everyone brings all this stuff out, it's almost like, and by the way, I did.
And then they dox the nuns and whatever.
It's an interesting analogy. It's an interesting analogy. And I have to say, on one of the leftist sites, they said, boy, you Trump supporters, you bunch of sexist, racist homophobes. They said, now you know what it feels like to be an illegal, to be gay, to be in the closet. Because you got your red hat, you don't want to wear it, but you'll wear it in public. I'm sorry, you won't wear it in public, but you'll wear it when you're safely together. Because why? You might get hit. You might get spit on. Well, welcome to the club. It was an interesting point coming from the leftist perspective, but that's what they were saying. And I, was like,
and I don't think they try and present that mythology. They feel uncomfortable and so on, but that's,
yeah.
You know, I'm you know, when you're doing crazy crap and saying crazy stuff, it's not because of the way you're dressed. It's because you're crazy, you know? So, whatever. All right, we're coming back.
You're listening to the best Liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know, Dr. Frank brought up a point off air. In the archive, though, go to the archive you get. The in the closet mindset of your job is threatened, your family disowns you or something because you come out gay, or because you like to wear face tattoos and spiky purple hair and you can't get a job. I mean, you know, whatever you know, your feel of oppression is. I feel oppressed because I'm just being me and I can't make you like me or include me or something. So then when you have Trump supporters, you know, they'll key their car. They take down their signs. They do it. Ha ha. See, now you know what it feels like not to be able to wear your red MAGA hat out when you want to. And you go in groups, your pack of wolves and your ISIS truck train, you know, with your Trump flags and so on. They want you to feel their pain. And I'm going, yep. Okay, what pain is it that they feel? And I talk, you have a lot of these people come into the libertarian movement. They're in the Libertarian Party. And they try to radicalize the libertarian support of what? No, libertarians are very tolerant of, yeah, do whatever you want. But I'm not going to sit there and advocate for you being a dick, you know? And you want something from some, you know, that's not what this is about. Freedom is the answer. What's the question? So I can see the motivation, but it's not as widespread as people think. And it's fostered. It's a psyop. It's encouraged. It's fanned. And I see it in the Libertarian Party. Different people, the same we hate Trump people, the whatever, they come in everywhere. And every disassociated group of any, even dissociated groups in disassociated groups. I mean, they do. It's a psyop. It is a tactic, a technique. And this has been, you know, the Soviet style of Marxist revolution of whatever, as detailed by this KGB guy on the J. Edward Griffin did in the 80s. It is amazing. You watch that and you go, yep, that's what's happening. Because they understand human behavior and psychology. That's what they're using against us. And they have had our children in their hands for decades, for generations. What they bit off more than they can chew, and when they did this thing and all of a sudden, who do you think are the kids that are homeschooling? Who do you think those are? Are they the future leaders or the future welfare recipients? Are they got, you know, caring, loving, maybe with some more resources, parents? More really awakened and not woke? I mean, what do you think is going to happen in 5, 10 years, 20 years from now? Where is the trajectory? Where is this going? It's freedom's phoenix. I can see it. You know, so
a large part of this is going to be this election. And by the way, just two big topics I want to cover real quick. One is what I, and maybe people out there might be doing, preparing for tonight and or tomorrow, if anything.
Popcorn.
And then the other thing is about the issue of who and how does this election get called? Because we're at a possible constitutional crisis, in a sense, where the president, well, this could be overwhelming, where he wins, at least technically, but the Democrats will say, and they've said over and over now, they will not concede, no matter what, tonight, until all the votes are counted. Well, when, how do we know when all the votes? I mean, if Trump wins 99% of all the vote, are they still going to hold out and say, we're not calling it? And at that point, who calls it? I mean, Facebook and Twitter has already said they will ban and take down anything you say about claiming that that Trump won prematurely. Well, prematurely compared to who? That's the big question. Who the hell actually declares?
No, I've been doing.
Anyway?
I'm the election guy. Let me tell you what happens. They were plugging the computer lines, reading the counting computers directly into the back of the computers in Maricopa County in the 94 election cycle that went straight to the World Trade Centers. The World Trade Center had the, you know, the media hub of we get to tell everybody who won thing, and but it was a two-way communication. And I'm like, they can make it say whatever the hell they want. What the hell are you guys doing? So we had a letter when they were, we came across a bunch of stuff that they were doing, and it was a letter saying we want that live communication in with the county computer severed until after the election. You can report whatever the hell you want, and I don't care. But having a live connection to the county computers as they're counting, that's just stupid. The Republican counterpart in Maricopa County and the Democrat and me, we all signed it. The other two got fired the same day. They were paid positions. Done. And I go, yep, here we go. And that was 94. So when they say who's going to declare, it's whoever the hell they say is going to declare. It's going to be, it was ABC, NBC, CBS. It was the media. That's where it went, where they have the talking heads is going to tell you who won. And I'm going, yeah, well, who's going to tell us now? Well,
no, exactly. And that's the question. It's one of those things you just don't, I mean.
It's not going to be Frank. You're on your Twitter account. Damn it. They're going to say, no, you're not a hell no.
Has it turned into media? That's the thing. Is it Twitter? Is it Jack Dorsey of Twitter? Is he the one now that says who the president is? I mean, we've always just, the trust of this country has always been there. And that is what has been fractured. That's the existential problem that we have now. I mean, the fact that we've always trusted for Peter Jennings,
yeah,
for those who remember
for
him, or Ted Kossel to tell us, we just all assumed because
Mockingbird.
Of peaceful transfer of power.
They're just part of Project Mockingbird, CIA, tell you what, you kind of, and Anderson Cooper. I mean, you know what I mean? How deep do I got to go? How much do I got to rehash from people?
No, I'm not doubting it, Ernie. I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying that now people are, this is where the average person that's told you, 2016, finally realized the media might even lie to us once in a while. Now in 2020, the average person is realizing that the media is also, you know, basically has been lying all this time, not to trust it, and now they don't even trust Google and Big Tech. So people are, their eyes are awakening big time. You know, that's what's that guy from Star Trek? His eyes open, you know, from Next Generation.
Eyes
anyway,
unfurled.
Eyes unfurled. That's kind of what's about to happen in this country. So now you've got all that. And now these Americans who never probably even questioned how we decide are realizing now, just recently.
Eyes open, sails unfurled. I think it's something like that.
That the media actually is the one that really calls it. So now you go, wait a minute. You mean the very people that I've just learned and witnessed with my own eyes, lies to me, manipulates, they're the ones that call this? Oh, hell no. So now what do you do? In all seriousness, most Americans are just figuring this out now as they sit back and they're being told that Trump can't claim victory. Well, based off of who? CNN? And yet we've spent the last 4-6 years, you know, calling them the enemy of the people, which they are, but... And now what? And that is for tonight. So anyway, real quick. So I will tell you, I'm curious what you're doing, Ernie. Of course, you're safe in your bus, I'm guessing, or you're with some of our special friends. I myself, we're having a couple of friends from Freedom's Phoenix coming over tonight. Everyone's packing, and which is nice. It's nice to have we have our little cabal here. And we'll ride it out here. We also have, we're pretty close to the highway, and not to sound overly dramatic and hyperbolic, but we have a special escape route that's off the main highways to another Freedom's Phoenix place, kind of out of the area. They have a room for us if we need to. So we've got everything planned out. We have our overnight bags, and
other
stuff all ready to go if need be. So hopefully not. We're in Phoenix, and I'm not really that worried, but I am not being stupid about it.
I begged
my mother. You know, she's back in Philly. She's close to Philadelphia. It's Philadelphia riots. I'm hoping, I think she might be staying over
at
my
brother's. Of course there'll be riots. They're going to be front and center with flames and whatever, and all you got to do is take a drone and back up a little bit, and you see it's itty-bitty little, you know, just television BS. You know, I'm not buying it. You know, and that's one thing I, G. Edward last night on the Zoom, and I'm going, look, I'm not buying this. I mean, it's the same 1,000 guys being given airline tickets. He goes, yep. You know, they're mercenaries. This is just all BS for television. This is just, you know, it's made up. You could have, you know, and how many weeks go by in Arizona 2 weeks ago when they had the Trump thing that was like 95 miles around? This is the third time that's happened. The second time it did, one of my sons said it was 95 miles around the 101. Oh, my God. And he said, and not a single word in the media. The only story that I saw was some, I don't even know what team he played for, some NFL player flipping him off on Facebook, showing how he's flipping him off. That made the news. I'm like, wow, wow, wow. Wow, 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 wow.
So we're going to have a lot to talk about for tomorrow. Ernie and I are doing a 3-hour special show post-election, blah, blah, blah. Assuming the world's still here. So let's all strap in. It'll be a fun night. And I guess Ernie will be texting during the evening, I'm sure.
All right, cool. Do it tomorrow, man. It's going to be a thing. We'll be
right. Get out and vote. Vote, vote, vote.
Yeah, we'll be right back.